Good morning. I understand that I am live now. As you can see, I've had to use a different piece of technology. For some reason, the internet went down. And I don't know exactly what happened. It just wouldn't work. So it seems to be an internet service provider thing. That's what it seems to be. So I'm glad to be up and broadcasting again. I had no control over those things. I wish I had, but I didn't. And I have to leave that with the Lord. It's not good if we're late to a meeting, especially if we're leading the meeting. So I apologize for that. And I hope that very shortly people will be able to find this broadcast. I'm David Mackworth. Welcome to the Bible Believers podcast. And I'm glad somebody's found it. That's great. And Ian, is that you? I need to ask. So I want to continue our studies in the book of Revelation. And we're going to read Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. So I'm all put out now by the internet crash. I just couldn't get it to work. Seems to be this. It simply wouldn't load. So I want to read Revelation chapter 5. In fact, I'm going to start reading just from the end of chapter 4 there, verse 9. So Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. Amanda, hello. Tech is great when it works. And it just didn't work this morning. And as I say, I had no control over that. So thank you for continuing to pray for these things. I wanted to say, Ian mentioned there on the broadcast that I did set up that his wife Kathy had been in hospital, and just I want to encourage everybody to pray for Kathy, and that God would heal her and that she would be raised up from her bed of sickness, that she would find mercy and strength, and that Ian himself would also be encouraged and blessed at this time of difficulty and trials and troubles. In fact, I'll pray for that just now. Father, pray for Ian and Kathy, that you bless and have mercy upon them. Thank you that Kathy has come through the night after surgery, and I pray, Father, that she would make a full and excellent recovery. Bless both Ian and Kathy, Lord, and grant that your peace would reign in their hearts, that the Lord Jesus would be a felt presence at this time. And I pray, Father, that you would be with them and strengthen them in this situation. So I commend Ian and Kathy to you at this time, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As you can see, I'm out of sorts because of the internet crash, but we're going to continue. Revelation chapter 4, verses 9, and we'll read through to the end of chapter 5. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Amen. Father, we ask and pray that you would be with us in this Bible study this morning. We ask and pray that each of us would be challenged, each of us would be convicted, each of us would be encouraged, exhorted, strengthened in the things of God. Each of us would see the Lord Jesus more clearly. Each of us would delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. We delight in the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We find all three persons in the Godhead in this passage. And our desire is to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins, Father, and cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus. And again, Father, we just ask and pray that you'd raise up those who are sick amongst us and have mercy upon them, especially Kathy at this time. Ian and Kathy, Lord, have mercy upon them. And so, Father, we commend ourselves to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you will notice that my voice is deeper than usual. That's because I was out preaching in the open air yesterday, and I was able to preach three times, which was wonderful, by God's grace, first in the small town of Droitwich, and then in Worcester, a significant cathedral town where Hugh Latimer was once bishop 500 years ago, the great Hugh Latimer, field preacher and preacher before kings. Or King Henry VIII specifically, who was martyred in the reign of Queen Mary. Naomi, welcome, and the Lord bless you, and welcome. I'm so glad that so many people have managed to find the second broadcast. The first one failed. The internet just went down, so I'm now doing this on my phone and using my phone to do this broadcast. That's why it's slightly different quality and slightly different presentation. So I preached three times yesterday. I've put all three sermons up on the internet, but the one that I would recommend most would be the one on this channel, the Dr. David Mackleth channel. The second time I preached in Worcester, where I had a group of young people who were quite strong in their opposition to the message, but they listened to it. They were against the preacher, they were against the message, and they were against the Lord Jesus Christ, but they listened. And my prayer is that there would be conviction of sin. We preach for conviction, we look for conviction, and we desire the salvation of sinners. Naomi Ty is Welsh, I think. Am I right? So we're looking at this passage, and my desire here, I feel as though, again, as ever, I'm inadequate. I don't have the words. I don't know how to express or preach this passage in such a way. But the desire in this passage of Revelation chapter 5 is that we would, in our hearts, in our minds, somehow see more of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would desire him more, that we would long for him more, that we would look to him more, that we would rejoice in him more, that we would worship him more. Because this passage is a passage about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we previously considered the throne room of heaven. We previously considered the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst, the Father on the throne, and the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the throne, surrounded by the elders on their 24 thrones, and also in the presence of the four mighty angels, which I believe are the seraphim. Some would think they were the cherubim. Well, we can discuss that. But either way, they were mighty angels who were there to glorify God and to stand before the throne. But the Lord Jesus Christ is seen to be in the midst of the throne, the same throne that the Father is on. And there is this book or scroll in the Father's right hand. And John wept much because no one was found worthy to open it. And then John was told not to weep because one had been found worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ had prevailed. He had overcome. He had the authority and the power and the ability to open the book, to open the seals. which will bring in the end of the age and the new heavens and the new earth and the world to come. And so this is our scene, but we need to just look at this passage again and consider how this passage refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. In summary, this passage shows us the Lord Jesus Christ worthy of the same worship that God the Father receives. Again, when I think about, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the deity, who deny that Jesus Christ is God, I cannot believe that they have ever read this passage. How could you read such a passage as this and not see the glory of God and not see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, in his majesty, and not look to him and worship him as the second person he is of the Godhead? This passage is a passage which is full of instruction on the deity and on the majesty and on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John sees the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. He is told by an angel that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. That's there in verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. Although the Lord Jesus is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is seen as a lamb having been slain. But it is fitting that Jesus is described as the Lion of Judah. He is of the tribe of Judah. Back in Genesis 49, verses 9 and 10, Jacob is giving his prophecy concerning his sons and their tribes before his death. And of Judah, he declares that Judah is a lion's whelp. So that Savior, that Messiah, that prophet who had come from the line of Judah, from the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that prophesied Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, he is the Lamb of God. We'll come to that in a second. But he is mighty. The fact that he's a lion, the fact that Jesus is a lion, shows him to be mighty, almighty. He has overthrown, he has overcome his enemies, he has rent them in pieces. How did he do that? He did that by dying on the cross of Calvary, by staying on that cross, by giving himself to the ignominious death of the cross, and by bearing the punishment for sin. The powers of darkness were put to shame, they were defeated, they were trampled, they were destroyed. Satan's head was crushed when Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, went to that cross of Calvary. He has destroyed the works of Satan. He reigns mightily. A lion is a symbol, is a regal beast. It's a symbol of his reign, of his power, of his glory, of his beauty, of his strength, of his majesty. The Lord Jesus Christ is the conqueror and the victor, and he reigns on the very throne of heaven as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But that's not what John sees. Although Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has prevailed, John sees a lamb looking as though it had been slain. And it is fitting that the Lord Jesus should be seen in this way. Now, I just wanted to note as well that the Lord Jesus in the midst of the throne, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb having been slain, he is at the right hand of the Father. He must be at the right hand of the Father because he takes the scroll, or he takes the book from the right hand of the Father. The Father has this book in his right hand, and the Lord Jesus takes it from him. So the Lord Jesus is seated, or standing, in fact. Here we have the Lamb standing on the verse 6 there. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who stands in the midst of the throne. Now, we're told that the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God today. But when Stephen, his martyr, died and was stoned to death in the book of Acts, Jesus is seen standing on the right hand of God. In Revelation here, once again, we see the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the age, standing at the right hand of God. Kathy, thank you for mentioning that. Ian and Kathy, the Lord bless you. We've prayed for you and we will pray for you and that God would be with you and help you at this time of difficulty. And thank you for your encouragement and help, but the Lord be with you, Ian and Kathy. Kathy, thank you for telling me that. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne, but he's at the right hand of God. And as he was standing, normally he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he is seen standing at the right hand of God in the midst of the throne, because he is about to open the seals. He is taking the book from the Father. It's a sign that things are about to happen. And it may be that we are living in such an age. It may be that we're about to see these things. It may be that even now, the Lord Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father, ready to loose the seals, ready to reveal the final judgments of God and the final outpouring of God's wrath on this world before the end of the age and the judgments that are to come. Maybe the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father even now. But you see, the elders fall down and worship this Lamb. And the interesting thing is they worship him in the same way that they worship the Father. In chapter 4, verse 9, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And then in chapter 5 here, once again, they worship him that liveth forever and ever. So verse 13 of chapter 5, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. It's very clear here that the worship that is being given to the Father is also being given to the Son in the midst of the throne. God doesn't share his glory with another. If Jesus wasn't God, these would not worship him. In John 5, verse 23, Jesus tells us that those who honor the Father should honor the Son in the same way. We are to worship Jesus Christ as we worship the Father. Or in other words, Jesus must be God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be worshipped as God. And here we see all heaven and earth worshipping him with the Father. It shows that Jesus is God. I really don't see how the Jehovah's Witnesses can get away from that. They try and argue that Jesus isn't God. They try and argue that he's a little God. They try and argue that he isn't God. But Jesus Christ is clearly seen to be God. It's not robbery for him to be equal with God, because he is God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And of course, we have the Holy Spirit here as well, represented as the seven eyes that the Lamb has, which are the seven spirits of God, or seven representative of the perfect Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being worshipped together by all creation. So just looking at that comment, it doesn't seem to make sense. So Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. Hebrews 1 verse 9, which is based on Psalm 45 verse 7. Hebrews 1 verse 9, based on Psalm 45 verse 7. And here I'm struggling a little bit with my voice. Apologies for that. Hebrews 1 verse 9, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows." We're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ exalted. The Son of God has always been exalted, but now as the God-man, having defeated death, having died upon the cross and having been raised from the dead, we see him as the one exalted above his fellows. The Lord Jesus Christ now upon the throne of heaven. Now, John sees Jesus as a lamb looking as though it has been slain. The elders fall down and worship him. But this lamb has redeemed us to God by his blood. The Lord Jesus has saved us through his death. This one seated on the throne is the mighty victor. He has died to save a multitude of sinners such as you and me. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, these elders that fall down and worship him, There are three groups of worshippers seen here in Revelation chapter 5. The first is the elders, representative of the church throughout the ages. And the second is the angels with the elders and the saints. And the third is all of creation, every living creature. This is extraordinary worship, but it's worship that is meet and worthy for the Lamb slain, the one who died for sinners, the one who is the victor, the one who is overcome, the one who has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals, verse 5. So these elders fall down and they worship him. And they say this, that thou hast redeemed us from every tribe and tongue and people, verse 9, Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So these elders are representative of the church throughout the ages. And I think we might have some either bots or trolls. I'm not understanding some of these comments, I'm sorry. Or if you're not bots or trolls and you're real, then please, I hope that you know Jesus Christ. Buckeye, welcome. Thank you. So everyone is welcome here. And I hope I've done nobody a disservice, but sometimes just a little wary of some of the comments that might go on. Leaving that aside, the Lord Jesus died to redeem people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And that makes me sing hallelujah because he saved me. He came and he found me where I was. I was in Scotland when the gospel was shared with me, but I was in England on the day I was saved. But there are people throughout the whole world who have been saved, who will yet be saved through the blood of Christ, through the Lamb that was slain. These elders are full of rejoicing in God, the redemption that they've received. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Every kindred and tongue and nation. This is a new song they're singing. This is a new song because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has defeated death. He has triumphed over the grave. He has brought life and immortality to light. So these speak of being redeemed to God through the blood of the Lamb. And they sung a new song, verse 9. That God had, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, had redeemed them to God by blood out of every kindred and so on. It is by blood. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. It is through his blood alone that we're saved. Thank you, Kathy, for your comment. Clock, thank you for your answer. Thank you. The Lord bless you. I've heard the name Bob Larson Coco, but I can't comment on people I don't know, preachers I don't know. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's his death. We are sinners and we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved through his death. We're saved through his laying down of his life and giving of himself on the cross of Calvary. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Oakstorm, may the Lord save Donald Trump. We shouldn't put our trust in politicians. We should put our trust in the Lord. May the Lord save Donald Trump. And when I say that, people say, well, maybe he's a young Christian. Well, I don't see the evidence for that. I am very concerned at what I see. And I would argue that the first sign that Donald Trump had become a Christian would be if he sells his casinos. Because they are ruining people's lives, or casinos ruining people. I can't speak of personal knowledge of Donald Trump's casinos, but casinos, as a rule, do ruin people's lives. But we, to be saved, we must repent and look to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Naomi, the Lord bless you. What a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Note that Jesus has obtained for his people a forgiveness of sin, cleansing in his blood. And then Jesus has also obtained, he's made us kings and priests to our God. This is our reward. The Lord Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests. Verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Interesting, we shall reign on the earth, he says. but we're made kings and priests. He is elevated to a high estate. And he has made us priests that we should for eternity offer a sacrifice of praise to our God. And that is going to be our sweetest and purest delight. That we could live for this purpose, that our whole lives would be lived out perfectly in worship for God in the new heavens and the new earth. So God has done extraordinary things for sinners such as us, the unworthy, the unjust, the unlovely. He's made us kings and priests to our God. And he has saved us from our sin. He will glorify us and make us kings and priests. And then on the earth, our eternal reward. Now, some people, we find this earlier on in Revelation, will be rewarded by sitting on the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that he'll let them, or he will make them to sit on his throne with him. Now, that will not be, when that happens, they won't have the glory that God has. Our glory will always be a derived glory. But the Lord Jesus Christ has his rewards for his people. So, Buckeye, when we accept Jesus as our Messiah, we take on the crucifixion, we become one with him and a true child of God. Amen. Yes, when we become a Christian, we're saved by the grace of God. His Holy Spirit lives within us. He is the head and we are the body. We don't become God. We don't become divine. We don't take on the divine nature as such. We remain human beings, whereas the Lord Jesus is God. But we are saved by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Gabriel says, put your faith in no man Trump. Yes, Christians, please don't look at Donald Trump as being the answer. It's Jesus Christ who's the answer. America needs repentance. Now, I don't think Donald Trump is preaching repentance. America needs preachers who preach fervently against sin and call the nation to repentance. And the same is absolutely true of England or Australia or any of our countries. From Russia with love, thank you. If we have a brother or sister in Christ from Russia, I could pronounce Cyrillic text once, but I can't anymore. But the Lord bless you in Russia. We need to remember with the wars going on that we still have brothers and sisters in Christ in every nation of the world, and including Russia. And we give the warmest hearted greetings to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Russia. And that would also include the Ukraine as well, because when we love our brothers and sisters wherever they are, whatever's going on in the world. And it's thrilling to have, yes, Amanda, it's thrilling to have an international group here to look at the things of God. Naomi from India, well, the Lord bless you. And that's very encouraging that somebody from India is here, as well as somebody from Russia. Very encouraging. And I'm very thankful that you could be with us today. And God be with you. And may the Lord bless India and his people in India today. So we have these elders falling down and worshiping God. And we are represented by those elders. And they say of the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, and so on. And they are overwhelmed with worship. They are full of worship. They are falling down, casting their crowns before God, singing a new song, joyfully, delightfully. That's representative of us. And we should be in our hearts worshiping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, worshiping the Lamb, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts, daily, in our lives. But then John says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million, but it says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What a number of angels. So the elders fall down around the throne and worship God. They worship the Lamb. They worship the Father. They worship the Lamb. They worship the Holy Spirit, because the Lamb has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And they said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The angels delight to worship God. I think it's First Peter, it says, talks about things that angels desire to look into. The gospel, the outworking of the gospel, the coming into the world, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth in Bethlehem, his death on the cross, his resurrection. Angels desired to look into those things. But now the angels see the fulfilled purposes of God. They see the salvation of God. They see the glorifying of God. So, Buckeye, you said, can I ask you a question? And I'm not a troll. It is something I'm struggling with. Buckeye, you are very welcome here. And Buckeye, thank you, and the Lord bless you. And if we can be an encouragement to you, then we'll do everything we can to be an encouragement to you. And I know that people here will pray for you. And I hope that you, with all your heart, you're trusting Jesus and you know the Lord Jesus, but you're welcome here. And thank you for responding to that. The Lord bless you, Buckeye. So these angels now fall down and worship God as well. They see the salvation of God. They see that the Lord Jesus has stepped in, that he has, with a mighty arm, redeemed a multitude of sinners by his grace and in his love and in his mercy. And look at the rapture of these angels. Look at the delight. These angels have always been filled with rapture, worshiping God. They've always been filled with love to God. They've always worshiped God with all their hearts. They've always declared his glory. But now, if it were possible, there are even greater raptures as they see the Lamb, as they see the salvation of God, as they see that the Lamb has overcome, and that this one who died and is alive, this one whose blood was shed for the remission of sins, is worthy to open the seals. Perhaps a search was made among the angels. Was anyone worthy to open the seals? And it was declared that not a single angel, a holy angel, could declare or could open the seals, because an angel could never do that. But how much greater is the Lord Jesus Christ? So these angels are worshiping God. Again, I want to read their words. But the angels delight, exult, rejoice in the salvation that God has wrought, and in his mighty arm revealed, in the salvation that he has brought to sinners such as you and me. So these angels, these thousands of thousands, these 10,000 times 10,000 of angels, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Gabriel, welcome. KR, welcome. David, blessings to you today. Thank you. Thank you, KR, for your encouragement. You can see I'm a bit sort of put out today by the internet, and also just a little bit tired from the open air yesterday, but there we are. May the Lord Jesus Christ have all the glory. May all the glory go to him. And may we delight more and more in worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ and desire his glory and honor in our hearts and in our lives. So the angels are worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ as well as God the Father. And but then every creature, let's press on to every creature. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Those creatures are worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they worship the Father. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, we can't describe in words what John saw. We didn't see it with our own eyes. But this is the most glorious thing that there is. This is infinitely glorious. This is beautiful beyond measure. It's extraordinary above our understanding. And yet one day we'll see that with our own eyes. It shows us again that the Lord Jesus is so far, so high, so much above every principality and power. Thank you for your comment there about worthiness in the Lord Jesus Christ, Gabriel. And so the Lord Jesus is worthy. Every creature worships God. Now, think of it like this. When the Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem, the people took palm branches and they cried out, Hosanna in the highest. And they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Sanhedrin said, you know, they told his disciples, tell them to stop. They shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus said, And Jesus said, Luke 19:40, let's read it. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. The Lord Jesus said that if these were silent, let's read it. Luke 19 verse 40. If these were silent, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if these should hold, verse 39, sorry. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Can you imagine it? The people refuse to worship God and the stones can't bear that. And because the glory is so great, the stones cry out and worship and cry, Hosanna in the highest. Now, that didn't happen because the people were worshiping God. But think of it like this. The glory of God is so great. The whole creation glorifies him. Well, the stones didn't worship him. But here we have every living creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea. Every living creature. Let's read Psalm 150, verse 6, the last verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm 150, verse 6. This is all about worship and praise, isn't it, in Psalm 150? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Well, in heaven, it's seen that every creature is worshiping God. Yesterday in Worcester, I was preaching to some people who hated God, some people who hated the gospel, and yet they listened, thank God for that. But here, all the creatures are crying out, worshipping God, and every living creature is crying out and worshipping the Lamb upon the throne and the Father in heaven and glorifying his name. So great is his glory. And I just wanted to read Psalm 148, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 5. Because these words are very glorious about. And think of the worship that's going on in heaven and on earth when every living creature now worships God and their elders are worshiping, which is representative of the whole church, and all the holy angels are worshiping God. Think of the scene, the Father on the throne, the Lamb standing at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit there also. So Psalm 148, verses 1 to 5. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. The whole creation groans. The whole creation is looking for redemption. And now that redemption draws nigh for the whole of creation. And the creation bursts forth into raptures of praise and delight in the Lord, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they praise. And this is what their praise is in verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Oh, how I wish that we could praise God like this. We're not yet glorified. We don't have the strength yet, but with all our hearts, I feel so weak, I feel so pathetic. So we have great cause to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, in a God our Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ today, for what he has done for us. A great cause to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is, for what he has done, for his blood shed for us, for how he appears before us today. John has given us this vision, and if the seals are about to be opened, and they may very well be at this time, then the Lord Jesus is today standing at the right hand of the Father, perhaps, today ready to open the first seal. and we'll look at start to look at the seals in further studies. But Catherine, welcome from Australia. The Lord bless you and our other brothers and sisters in Christ in Australia. But we have great cause to rejoice in God our Saviour. Whatever our condition, whatever our health, whatever our status in this world, we have great cause to rejoice in God our Saviour. And then we have strong confidence that Jesus is seated high above, or standing, we said, but he is high above all principality and power, and that he reigns over the heavens and the earth. We are sometimes bogged down by looking around us. We see ungodly men ruling in this world. We see Satan seems to triumph, and he seems to have power, and he seems to overcome the saints. But when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him far above all principality and power. He reigns, the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in heaven, and he reigns on the earth. He is our mighty victor. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our beloved, our Savior. And then as we see the Lord Jesus, as he is there, both as the Lion and as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, we have succor, we have encouragement, we have comfort to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this generation, in this dark generation, in this corrupt generation, in this wicked generation. The Lord Jesus is worthy of our praise, but he also is our Savior, and he loves us, and he died for us, and he is with us, and he keeps us by his grace. And we will see these things with our own eyes when the day comes. So are you rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you're a Christian, are you looking up? Are you looking to Jesus, who is seated far above all principality and power? Do you see with the eye of faith the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Do you see the one who died for you, the one whose blood was shed for you? Do you rejoice in that? Do you cling to him? Do you cleave to him? Do you walk with him? We are certainly facing difficult days. We're certainly facing difficult times. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ we must walk with, we must seek, and whom we must follow. The Lord Jesus on the very throne of heaven, worshipped, absolutely worshipped by his church, by the angels, and by every living creature. Worshipped with the Father, worshipped with the Holy Spirit. Well, the original title of this talk was The Lamb is All the Glory. And of course, that first broadcast failed because the internet went down. But The Lamb is All the Glory. And that's a line from the hymn "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." So I'll just read. I won't trouble you by trying to sing it. But I'll just read the last verse of that hymn, and then we'll pray. The bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Amen. Father, we ask and pray that we by faith would gaze upon the Lamb, that we by faith would worship thee, and also by your Holy Spirit worship thee, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask that you'd help us to set our mind on things which are above, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, which if we have done, if we do, then we are the ones who, like those elders say, are redeemed out of every tribe and tongue and nation. Thank you for all the nations represented here today, India, Lord, and Russia, and other nations represented in this broadcast. And Father, we thank you that we are part of a worldwide family of people who have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if indeed we know him. If there are those who don't know him, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes and show them the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty and in all his power as a mighty Savior from all sin. We ask again for the forgiveness of our own sins, Lord. Again, we pray for those who are unwell, Lord, and we pray for Ian and Kathy at this time, asking that Kathy's health would be restored. And Father, I want to pray for the open air work that was done yesterday in Worcester, and for the young people who mocked the gospel but listened. And I pray that today they would come under profound conviction of sin, that they would feel that they are sinners in the hands of an angry God, to use the words of Jonathan Edwards. And I pray, Lord, that there would be salvation visited upon the people in England, in these other countries, in Australia, Lord, in America, Lord, in India, Lord, that you'd bless and build up your church there, that you would have mercy upon your people in Russia and in the Ukraine, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ in these nations. And Father, we ask that in these days, if the Lord Jesus is today standing at the right hand, at your right hand, Father, if he has taken the book from you, if he is about to open the seals, Lord, and we believe he may be, Lord. We believe the signs in the world are that he may be. Father, we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit upon our nations. If in your wrath you are about to judge the nations, we also pray that there might be an innumerable company of people that no man can number, save from amongst the nations, who escape and who flee from the wrath to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour from all sin. So, Father, we thank you for this time, but we pray that this word and this worship before the throne in heaven, that all of this would fire us up and stir us up to be followers of the Lamb, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us this morning, and thank you for finding the second broadcast when the first one failed. That happens from time to time. Thank you for those who were commenting and haven't previously commented on these live broadcasts. And again, you're very welcome, and it's wonderful to see you. And thank you for joining us this morning. I suppose I wanted to ask, are there any questions? Kathy, that's wonderful that you're home, and the Lord bless you. And I want to encourage people to continue praying for Ian and Kathy. Because God is a God who answers prayers. And Buckeye, thank you again for joining us today, and others. And please, everybody, pray for Buckeye. The Lord heal you in your broken heart, Buckeye. Of course, I don't, please don't, you know, there's 8 billion people that can watch this, so please don't to give us details that shouldn't be made public. But Buckeye, if you have a broken heart, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who heals the brokenhearted, and he's the one who lifts up the downcast. So look to Jesus Christ with all your heart, trust him with all your heart, and he will help you. Daryl, the Lord bless you. Father, I pray you bless these Buckeye and Daryl, and have mercy upon them and others, Lord, who are struggling, wrestling maybe with depression, maybe with other things, Father, temptations of various kinds. But Father, I pray that you would take these from the temptations that Satan puts before them. And I pray, Lord, that their eyes would be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our eyes would be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us for our sins and our transgressions. But Father, keep us by your grace and have mercy upon us in these difficult days. We ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Walking with Jesus is the way to overcome temptation. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus lifts up all who fall. So if we have fallen, we need to confess our sins to God, and we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will have mercy upon us. So the Lord bless you, dear friends, Daryl, Buckeye, welcome, ST. All of us in this world struggle with sin and temptation, and we have that on every hand. Satan is pouring corruption into our society, and as Christians, we come across it all the time, and it's only ever two mouse clicks away from us. We have corrupt hearts and it's easy for us to fall, but the Lord Jesus gives us grace to overcome. And all of us struggle and all of us wrestle, but the Lord Jesus will keep us by his grace and he will bring us through. He is on the throne. We've seen that. He's on the throne. He's the one who leads his sheep. He leads his flock. So there will be a lifelong struggle and wrestling with temptation for us as Christians. If we belong to Jesus, in the final analysis, we will have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Pray for one another. But the more we love Jesus, John Owen put it like this, that the only thing that keeps us from sin is our love for Jesus. It's not just a list of rules. It's not because we have a status or authority in the church, for example, we're elders or something like that. It's only love for Jesus that keeps us from sinning. So we should study to love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more in our hearts and lives. And it's our faith that overcomes the world. Amen, ST, the Lord bless you and keep you and have mercy upon you, ST, and help you. May the Lord help each one of us in our daily walk to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the winning side. Jesus has won. He has overcome. And when we see this worship, we would just look for that day. But we can worship the Lord Jesus Christ now. We can worship God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our hearts and cry out to him, Lord, we rejoice and we delight in you. We belong to you, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Oh, glory that we belong to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We said during this message that angels had desired to know what was happening, but now in heaven we see that. Stephen Irwin asks, okay, that's strange. Okay, Stephen, I don't know what's happened to your comment, but I can see it. The question is, can Jesus fix Down syndrome? The first answer to that question is yes, Jesus can fix Down syndrome. But I think, I don't know of any case of somebody with Down syndrome who's ever had the genetic abnormality fixed. But what I have met is I have met lovely Christians who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ who had Down syndrome or have Down syndrome. People who are precious to God. People who are, like us, made in the image of God. And the Lord is able to save any of us and have mercy upon any of us. So I hope that helps. We live in a society that seeks to put away people that it considers less valuable, but there's nobody that God considers less valuable. No one at all. There's going to be an accounting for all this terrible things that are going on in our hospitals. God's wrath is certainly kindled against England in these days, and we see it. Our government is falling to pieces. Our nation is falling apart because we've forsaken God. We need to return to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think, Stephen, you said there, why doesn't he then? And if that's the case, what I would say to you is this, rather than me trying to answer that question, ask God yourself. Make diligent inquiry. Okay, Stephen, I can't understand your comment there. I'm not sure if everybody else can see your comments, but I can see your comments. Tommy, thank you. Stephen, I would say, you take your comments, take your questions, take your hard questions to God, the ones you don't know the answer to, the ones that concern you and worry you and cause you grief, take them to God. God is able to listen to all of our questions, and he's able to answer them as well. Tommy, he is the way, he is the light. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. Amen, Tommy. Nobody. Without Jesus, nobody can get to the Father. No other way, no other name, no one else. But the glorious thing is, in Jesus Christ, we can get to the Father. Stephen, do you know Jesus Christ? You spelt God with a small g, but there's no God with a small g. Our God is a God of heaven and earth, a God of all glory, a holy God, a righteous God. Do you know him, Stephen, through Jesus Christ? Have you found Jesus Christ? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Tommy, we don't find the answer by looking inside ourselves. We find the answer by looking away from ourselves to Jesus Christ. I think you've already said that. You said he is the way, he's the light. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. So, Tommy, I think that's a clear understanding of the gospel, that we look away from ourselves. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. SD says, amen. Thank you, SD. The Lord bless you and you, Tommy, as well. And you, Stephen. So the Lord Jesus is on the throne of heaven, and I haven't got the words to describe it. The Bible says, Stephen, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that if you believe in a Big Bang and evolution, I think that you are believing in something which is absurd, in my opinion. I believe with all my heart that God said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe that before there was a created order, God existed for eternity. Tommy, I would say this. You say that with all self-respect, reflection. Well, self-reflection, self-examination is an important part of the Christian life, but the compass we have is the Bible. We must go to the Bible. We must go to the Word of God. We must measure all things by the Bible. If we simply look in ourselves and reflect, then we are at risk of going astray and falling into error. So we must be saturated in the Word of God. We must be students of God's Word. And that's why I say we must look away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Kathy says, God can save anyone. And absolutely he can. And sorry, that comment has gone, so I can't read the rest of it. Sorry, Kathy. But Jesus is the Son of God, Sherky. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is the Savior of the world. We've seen that in Revelation chapter 5 here, that he is equal with the Father. He is in the midst of the throne. And you can't be equal with the Father or worshipped with the Father or in the midst of the throne without being God. Jesus Christ is very God of very God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, Zorro, that's a strange comment. And well, I'm not a liar. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is a created being, a fallen being. God, the eternal God, is the God of heaven and earth. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. He crushed Satan's head. And the day will come when Satan is cast into hell for eternity. But God will always reign. The Bible teaches us very, very clearly that there is one God, but there are three persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sherky, Adam is a son of God in the sense that he was the first created man, but he is not divine. Jesus Christ is God and man. Adam is only man, and Adam fell into sin. So, ST says Jesus is the Messiah, even in Islam, but Jesus Christ is God, and as God, he is the Messiah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we're having different conversations this morning, I see, from previously, but even so, we must talk about this. Jesus Christ is God. God manifest in the flesh, Gabriel says. Yes, indeed. Okay, so yes, Amanda, I think you can see things are a bit different today, but this is, I think, necessary for the work to grow. So Shoki, there are not contradictions everywhere. You can say that, but you can't produce examples. That would be ridiculous. It's one thing to attack Christianity. It's another thing to know what you're attacking. Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world. Okay, so I'm going to just Buckeye, though I didn't need any of it, I have always had a very strong sense since I was reading. I feel it's the Holy Spirit that got me through. Well, the Holy Spirit, Buckeye, will always lead you to Jesus Christ. He will always lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is, Naomi says, Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Okay, so I can't now follow the comments, not just because I'm doing this on my phone, because we had this outage of the internet earlier. So I'm going to call an end to this broadcast. God willing, the next live broadcast, which to which everyone is welcome, will be on this Friday evening at 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, GMT, UK time. I will probably do something on the State of the Nation this Friday and then return to the series on divorce on Monday, next Monday. So saying this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Good night, Kathy and Ian, and God bless you, and our other brothers and sisters in Australia. The Lord bless you and others from all over the world. And thank you for joining us and being with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bless you and have mercy on you, Shaky and Naomi. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to say good night and or good day because it's morning here. And thank you for joining us for this live broadcast. But remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.